2 weeks ago, we talked about the flood, and last week we talked about Noah coming off the ark with his family and the covenant that God made with them. And tonight we're going to talk about the last passage that discusses Noah, and it's in the 9th chapter, and we'll begin reading with verse 18 and read through verse 29. One thing that I'm very thankful about when it comes to the scriptures is that it paints men and women accurately. It does not gloss over sin. It does not tolerate, compromise with, or dismiss men or women who have gone astray. But it speaks the truth, but it speaks the truth in love. David is indeed a great shepherd, but he is indeed a great sinner. Abraham followed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, but Abraham sinned, and his sin was brought back upon him. And tonight we're going to talk about Noah and the difficulty that Noah has as he falls from the position that he was in. After the flood, Noah built an altar. God blessed Noah mightily. Noah received the covenant, and he fell into sin. It's not a good way to end your life, but it's the last 350 years of Noah's life summed up in one verse. And I want you to listen very closely to me. The first part of his life was verse after verse and chapter after chapter. Noah walked with God. He was a righteous man. He built an ark. He saved his household. The world was destroyed. But the last 350 years of Noah's life is summed up in one verse. And I'm going to take a moment to tell you why. Chapter 9, verse 18. The sons of Noah who went forth from the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Ham was the father of Canaan. These three were the sons of Noah. And from these the people of the whole earth were dispersed. Noah began to be a man of the soil, and he planted a vineyard. He drank of the wine and became drunk and lay uncovered in his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. Then Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it on both their shoulders, and walked backward and covered the nakedness of their father. Their faces were turned backward, and they did not see their father's nakedness. When Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his youngest son had done to him, he said, "Cursed be Canaan. A servant of servants shall he be to his brothers." He also said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem, and let Canaan be his servant. May God enlarge Japheth, and let him dwell in the tents of Shem, and let Canaan be his servant." And after the flood, Noah lived 350 years. All the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. Father, tonight when we consider this passage, help us to see that we who finish weak dishonor you and rob ourselves of a legacy. And those of us who can finish strong, bring glory and honor to your name, and leave behind a path for others to follow. I pray tonight that we could leave a godly legacy to those who come behind us. In Jesus' name, amen. So each week as I give out the little outline, I usually leave a blank place for you to fill in. So fill the first one in here. How startling the fall of Noah. Anybody but Noah. Think about that for a moment. 120 years he walked with God. 120 years he was a righteous man in a wicked world. For 120 years he labored to build an ark. And during that time, he was the most criticized and judged man on the face of this earth. He was called crazy. People said he had no concept of understanding. Even his family did not support him like one would wish a family would. Noah, 120 years, he walked with the Lord. Only two men, Enoch and Noah, is it said about them that they walked with the Lord in their lifetime. And for 120 years, he was a righteous man in a fallen world. Anybody but Noah. Do you know the delight that it brings to this wicked world when somebody who has walked with God falls? Do you know the light it brings to hell and the demons of hell when somebody who has walked with God falls? Did you know often we are our worst advertisement for Christianity? Did you know that quite often we're the signpost that the world reads? Do you point to heaven or to hell? Have you ever recognized you may be the best Christian somebody knows? You may be the only Christian down there at the office, over there at the school, there at the plant. You may be the only Bible that some people are ever going to take the time to read. Your life might be the one life that could point in the right direction. Anybody but Noah. And I'll tell you, somebody is thinking that about you. Anybody but Don. Anybody but you and you and you and you, somebody feels that way about you. And for 120 years, a magnificent testimony, a witness, an ambassador for the message of the gospel and for the message of God. And suddenly, a wicked world that had heard the gospel now sees the fall of the preacher. 2 Samuel chapter 12, Nathan approaches David after David's sin with Bathsheba. There's a stirring statement made there that if I never read my Bible again, I would never forget. A story is told. Nathan says, David, there was a rich man, acreage, cattle, lambs, everything imaginable. His neighbor was a poor man, one little lamb. The rich man had company. He sent to the neighbor's land, stole the one little lamb, and slayed it, and used it for the dinner meal. David's face turns red. He's outraged. That man needs to pay fourfold. And then it was said by Nathan, David, you're that man. And immediately he recognized that a king with 1,000 wives and 1,000 concubines had stolen Uriah's wife Bathsheba and taken her unto himself. And the penalty he laid down, judged fourfold, unfolds in the next chapters of Samuel and of Kings. Anybody but David, a man after God's own heart. It is not only a delight to the wicked world. Listen very closely. This even gets closer to home. It is a discouragement to the weaker brother. It's a delight to a wicked world. Satan and hell and the demons rejoice. but it is a discouragement to the weaker brother. It's as if the larger tree in the forest cannot fall without crushing some of the smaller trees. The larger tree cannot fall without breaking off the limbs of smaller trees around it. And there are some in this room tonight that need to keep in mind that you're not only living for yourself, you crush others when you fall. You are a discouragement to a weaker brother. I read in the New Testament a number of things, and perhaps most pastors don't even discuss what I'm about to just state. But there are a great many things we've been told all of our life were wrong. But Paul comes back to this thought. He said they're not necessarily wrong, they're just not expedient. They're not terribly wrong, they're just not right. They're not the wrong thing to do. But if you do them, you could throw a stumbling block underneath the foot of a weaker brother. So before you claim your liberty and your license, Paul says, you look out for your responsibility and your testimony. And when people ask you why you don't do that when you probably could get away with it, why don't you learn to reply, I'm not trying to find out how close to hell I can live and still go to heaven. I'm trying to figure out how close to heaven I can live while I'm still on this earth. Why don't you figure out that a fallen saint crushes a great many when he or she falls? Number one, how startling the fall of Noah. Anybody but Noah. He built the boat. Anybody but David. He's a man after God's own heart. Number two, how suggestive the fall of Noah. We must be conscious of the potential of sin. Sin will grab you when least expected. Sin will trip you when you're running footloose and fancy free. Sin does not fight fair. Sin sneaks up on you. Sin deceives you. Sin promises you more than it can ever produce. And it takes you further than you ever thought it would. And the problem with sin is that you can't eat just one, they say about the potato chip. And a small sin leads to a bigger sin, and a bigger sin leads to a larger sin, and a larger sin leads to a life of sin. So I want to bring you to this thought tonight. If Noah was one of two men who walked with God, now listen closely. If Noah was one of the two men, Enoch and Noah, of whom it is said in the book of Genesis, they walked with God, and Noah could sin, how do you and I think we are immune? If a man who would spend 120 years of his life building a boat, preaching the truth, and somehow looking past all the criticism and all the judgmental attitudes, could fall so quickly, how do you and I think ourselves to be immune? Someone who could see the hand of God, the covenant of the Lord. If someone who knew that God spared him and his family when all others were destroyed could fall so quickly, how could any one of us think we are immune? We not only need to be conscious of the potential of sin, we need to be very cautious of the presence and the power of sin. I'm about to say something profound. I seldom do this. So I really want you to turn your hearing aid up. Listen to this. The flood got rid of all the sin around him. but it couldn't get rid of the potential of sin within him. Somebody else say amen. You understand that? The flood destroyed all the sin that was around him. But ladies and gentlemen, that's not our problem. It's not the sin around us. It's the sin within us that condemns us. All the sin that was around Noah was taken care of by the destruction of the flood. But he walked out of that boat, a Christian, but still crippled in the flesh and prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. 120 years building it, a year and a half in it, and a few days from it, and he has fallen into sin. And you and I need to understand what that means. Even if we were delivered from the presence of sin on the outside, we still have the potential of sin on the inside. Lock a man in solitary. Lock a man up for a year where all he has is four walls, a cot to sleep on, and food to eat. And he's still a sinner, even though he has no place to sin. So take it from me. You can clean up the outside, but until you let Jesus clean up the inside, there's still the potential for the fall. How startling. How suggestive. Number three, how serious. Verse 25. Cursed be Canaan. A servant of servants shall he be to his brothers. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem. Canaan will serve him. God enlarged Japheth. Canaan's going to serve you. Any time you sin, it impacts somebody and maybe several somebody else's. Daddy, don't ever forget your child is watching. Your children see. Mama, your daughters know. Parents, the platform you build will be the platform and the foundation that they believe. Now, I know this is the cream of the crop, but let me just say this. When math homework becomes more important than Bible study, you've taught your child the wrong thing. When softball and soccer and football and cheerleading and ballet comes before church, you've taught your child the wrong thing. When you're well enough to go to work, you know what's coming? You're well enough to come to church. When we fail to live righteously, it impacts others. And when we fall, it greatly impacts others. And then one final thing. It not only impacted others. I want you to see what it did to Noah. If you would have written the story of Noah in the first chapter that we came to, chapter 6, you would have headlined, "A Righteous Man." Noah, get this, found grace. What a word. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Boy, I'd want that to be the headline of my life. Don Chandler found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He walked with God, and God spoke to him. In 120 years of ministry, he preached and built and begged. If you were to write about the last 350 years of his life, here's what it would say. All the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. So we go from Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord to after the flood, He lived 350 years and he died. I do not want to go out that way. I ask God every time I pray to help me to finish strong. I have been weak at times. I have fallen and faltered and failed at times. But I want to go out strong. If I know my heart, I'd rather die tonight in the pulpit preaching the gospel as to live 50 more years and die in the far country forgetting the gospel. I want to go out strong. I do not want it said of me, nor do I want it said of you, that after the flood, he lived 350 years and he died. Now, the Bible paints a true story of the consequences of sin. And you may read the story of Noah's sin and think not much of it. But it's a little bit like, why was it so bad for Eve and Adam to eat the fruit? It's a little bit like, if David were going to have 1,000 wives and 1,000 concubines, why is it so bad to have one more? And here's what it is. It's not one fruit, and it's not one woman, and it's not one drink by Noah. It's disobedience. It's a heart prone to wander. It's rebellion and rejection of a God who has shown us grace. It's dishonoring a holy God who has sent his Son to save us and redeem us from the power, the penalty, and the presence of sin. Do not ever underestimate sin. It's not just a mistake. It's not just an illness. It's not just the wrong decision. It's not just the consequence of taking a wrong turn. It is rebellion and rejection of a most holy God. And that's why the last 350 years of his life counted for little after he begun with a blaze. After he started with a bang, he went out with a whimper. And that's what happens when a saint falls into sin. Let's stand together. As always, Mike and I will be in the altar for a moment or two. Ben's going to lead us in a couple of verses. If you've never trusted Christ, we'd love to share with you how that can happen. If you want to become a part of our church family, we'd love to share that with you. If you just need to come and pray for yourself or for somebody else, the altar's open.